The all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class has arrived at Mercedes-Benz Oakville. Over 100 C300 and C400 models are incoming or in stock. This incredible new vehicle comes with attractive introductory lease rates and surprisingly low payments. Contact Mercedes-Benz Oakville to arrange your test drive. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.com.
Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Our best going out to everybody on the northeast coast of the United States as they get battered by the storm, and as well to the Maritimes later on today. It's Hockey Central coming off the All-Star break. We're back in the Hockey Central studio from Columbus. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Today we will chat about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mike Zeisberger's coming up, as well as get you up to date with what's happening on the schedule tonight. Jam-packed with 11 games. Hopefully that we can get them all in. Haven't heard anything from the
Should
National Hockey League.
Should be soon. Mike regarding, Richards
regarding cancellation.
Waivers.
But Richards placed on waivers yesterday.
How does he get claimed?
He doesn't.
Please.
He doesn't.
One person told me there's
$22 million he's owed still.
I was told yesterday there's 5.8 million to one odds that yes. he'll be claimed.
And the issue is also the clawback, if he happens to retire, that you get hit with. And it's a complicated...
Recapture. Recaptures the
But
the
is
term.
A term. And it's ugly.
It's ugly.
So you have to be cognizant of that. You know, not that he's going to retire, but if he happens to, you're stuck.
Cleared waivers. Mike Richards has cleared waivers.
So he will report to be assigned to Manchester, where they're hoping he can find his confidence, get some game back, and maybe a team at the deadline through injury or desperation needs to take a chance on somebody.
Dean Lombardi said, he's expected to be a 280 hitter. He was a 300 hitter, 280 hitter, but he's hitting around 200 right now.
What happened to his game?
I think foot speed was a big part of his game. You know, you saw that he was starting to lose a little foot speed. And
did the game
I think the game got quicker, in fairness right. to Mike. You can never underestimate his smarts. And he's a winner. And I'll tell you what, you say what you want. Mike was a really valuable player for that hockey team in the playoffs last year. The way Daryl Sutter handled him and Carter in that playoff series, that last playoff series, the Stanley Cup final, it was exceptional, and Mike came through in a big way. And he used him in a lot of different lines, different situations. So, you know what? It's a money thing. That's the challenge. It's slowing down, faster league, and money.
Factor in that he plays incredibly hard, and he's not a big guy. No. And they break down. They eventually break down. What is he, 29? I don't think he's 30 yet.
Young.
He's young, but there's a lot of mileage on that. And he also came through the junior ranks when they play a ton of hockey coming out of junior, the international stage, the world juniors, it adds up.
We experienced that at We experienced that at the prospects game. The conversation at the prospects game around what Mike Richards went through, and maybe it's more intense now. What these kids are, between the Subway Series and the Prospects game and the World Junior, and
if you got the luxury to add a Mike Richards and say, we want you for 50 good games.
Third line.
50 good games, and we'll find a great fit for you in the playoffs, but LA can't do that. And I don't know and we know he's great on our show, Dean Lombardi, but I don't know what he was thinking when he didn't exercise the buyout. Right. It was his worst mistake.
And a ton of conversation about it in the final last year.
Not buying him out. And I think he wanted to give Mike the benefit of the doubt. He loved his team.
You know what?
He loved what Mike brought to the team on and off the ice. But it still made no sense at $5.7 million to keep him.
Tough. It's tough when you've won a couple of cups with a guy and right after the Stanley Cup is over, to call him in your office and tell him you're buying him out. That's not easy. Yeah, maybe it was racist, but I'll tell you what, that's not easy to do.
We know how tight that group is. And I wonder, part of that decision that Dean made was, I owe it to him, I owe it to the group, right, to keep this team together and give them another shot.
That's on one hand. On the other hand, you've got a salary cap, you've got players coming up that you have to sign, and if you got emotional or warm and fuzzy, you can't have your cake and eat it too this.
No. On paper, it was a no-brainer to buy him out.
Yeah. Big discussion in the final.
But you have to, I mean, helped you win two cups.
I don't think it'd be easy to do. You know, I know it's a long time ago. Bill Torrey went through the same thing with his group on Long Island. He kept them together and kept them together because he loved that group and what they'd done. I mean, four Stanley Cups in a row, and Bill was a loyal guy, and he kept them together.
I'll tell you another thing too, okay? And I was a fourth line guy in and out of the lineup. I didn't have the stature of a Mike Richards. Do you know how hard it is to go back on the ice today after you've cleared waivers?
Tough.
Do you know what a kick in the gut that is?
To
and
go.
How he's got to now walk in there with his chin up and be a professional and practice and play like nothing has happened. I feel tough for him today.
And potentially going to Manchester.
This guy.
I mean, will they send him?
You can look winner up in the dictionary. You're going to see a picture of Mike Richards. Yeah, that's how great he is.
Stepping on the ice today in practice is one thing. Stepping on the ice in Manchester is a whole other thing.
Where do they go now? Is that where he's going, Mac?
I was told that yesterday.
Yeah.
He'll be sent down?
He'll be sent down.
Yeah. See, that is real tough. Especially when you're like his age, not an old guy.
Look, with Mike Richards,
they got to relieve the cap. That's what they got to do.
They save about $750,000 or
minimal.
You don't put Mike Richards on waivers.
I think it's $900,000
just to dangle him after working the scenario of a trade as hard as they did. Well, not to send him down.
Right, the deals fell through, and don't think Dean didn't work tirelessly trying to make this happen so he didn't have to do this. This is the last thing.
Calgary and Toronto were the two teams that I heard were right closest to a deal.
And you don't for a minute believe that he didn't desperately try to come up with any scenario he could have to not do this. Anything.
I was told Toronto asked too much in a trade for Phaneuf. Richards.
And Phaneuf involved.
LA very interested in Phaneuf.
Yeah.
Because of their makeup of their defensive core right now.
But that's what you're up against. If you're going to move Dion there, you've got to take money back. And you know, if you expect to get more than Richards for Phaneuf, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get it. No. Because
whether you're talking Phaneuf or Richards, you are talking bad contract for bad contract. That's what you're talking
about. And you're not going to get that. And that's
but the Leafs want. The Leafs want a hockey deal with Phaneuf.
And that's going to be challenging to do at $7 million for seven more years. It's going to be challenging.
And Clarkson for.
And Dion can go and help people.
Clarkson for Richards was. Well, it was just swapping one for the same piece.
It makes absolutely no sense, does it? Because if you're trying to move money, you're not trying to take on another bad deal. And especially the deal that Clarkson has that was structured in such a way that it's impossible almost to even buy him out.
Yeah, that one made no sense from LA's point of view. Yeah. If they're going to trade Richards.
And it doesn't make sense. Now, have a look at, you know, and Elliot did a thing on it a week ago about how complicated it is to even buy him out.
Oh, it's virtually impossible.
Exactly. And that's why Clarkson it was structured side. That way.
And then you got the recapture dangers on Richards. So,
right.
I think we see him in the National Hockey League again, though, Richards.
Well, you know, L.A. may have no choice but to take substantial dollars back.
You can take half, right?
You're right.
You're not taking half.
No,
I'm just saying you're allowed
but
to
Nick,
take half.
It may be a third.
That's the only way you're going to see Richards in the NHL.
Is if somebody takes...
L.A. takes half.
If you if you get Richards...
Why would they take that?
If you get Richards to
why would
to
they
three
put that
and a half
on their books?
Yeah. And Richards... the actual money part of Richard's contract over the last 5 years goes down.
Yeah.
So, is there a potential that a team
that doesn't care about the cap?
Cap's not an issue. You're saving money on the 5 million plus.
Well, you look at a team like Florida, who that's the situation with Florida, but they have a Boland, so there's no room there.
They're trying to unload some bad contracts.
Right, exactly. Already. So, where does he fit?
He still has to get his game somewhere close to where it was.
Yeah.
And that the question is whether or not he can do that. Does confidence play a role in this?
Totally.
Is he battling that as much as he is the speed?
Totally.
Factor?
Oh, I got to believe it is. But, I mean, he's a pretty confident guy, but I would think so.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, somebody was sending me smoke signals from around the corner to check on something on my phone.
So. Brodeur. Expected to announce his retirement today.
Oh, okay.
That's the word on the street. Possibly taking a job with the Blues.
Work in the Blues front office. So, why not New Jersey's front office? I mean, the Blues, they've got Al McGinnis. They got Doug Armstrong. I mean,
he's going to be paid by St. Louis for the rest of the year.
Isn't Brett Hull there? I mean, how many front office guys? Darren Pang's in the front office. How many front office guys can you have?
Tell you what, if there's
Pangers in the front office, I forgot about that.
Well, he's the color combinator, but he's more in the front office.
Well, Darren will be sour about this because now he loses his starting job in the front office scrimmages.
Lunch game. Yeah. Anyway, Brodeur, I guess we saw it happen. We said it probably when he went there that this wasn't going to end probably the best. But
I'm just glad he's not coming back on the ice.
Why?
Because he's been off for 3 weeks.
In Florida golfing.
How much worse could it have gotten?
How many breaks can you have in a season?
No, so, I said this.
But don't you think he should be in New Jersey's front office?
I wish he would have retired a Devil and
joined their front office, Nick. That's where he should be.
If in fact this is confirmed that he's going to join the Blues front office, do you know how, I don't know if the right word's ugly, but how it could have derailed in New Jersey with Lou for a guy to go what he's gone through in one organization and not end up somehow working there right away?
I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
I don't care if he went to St. Louis and played for 3 weeks.
What went wrong there?
Just, if he plays for 3 weeks in St. Louis, go back to Jersey.
How is he not a Devil right now?
I don't know.
A member of the New Jersey Devils organization.
I would hope it's because he didn't want to go back. I would hope that's why.
He wanted to play.
Yeah, but he's not going to play now. He's going to join the front office.
No, but he wanted to play. He wanted another shot this year. He wanted 700 wins. And the New Jersey Devils had no interest in bringing him back with Corey Schneider. And so I think not retiring as a New Jersey Devil is as much on Martin Brodeur or more than on the New Jersey Devils.
I agree. But you when you make the mistake of going to St. Louis, Marty and Lou fix it so that he goes back and works with the Devils. That's what you do. You know, I understand trying to get your 700. I suspect Lou would give him the blessing to go.
But
bring him back and put him in the front office.
It's always fixable. When is it not fixable?
Yeah.
Right?
So you think he should go right back to New Jersey now?
Listen, I'm not privileged to every detail of what's going on between the two of them. Mm-hmm. But I would think it would make more sense all the way around that he's a Devil.
I mean, the Blues still have to, his money still goes against the cap because he's over 35.
Yeah.
So that there's still
it's minimal dollars, but
yeah, $1 million. 691 career victories for Martin Brodeur.
Pretty impressive, to say the least. And I still will be surprised if he's not back there eventually. And how much longer is Lou going to stay there? New ownership, there's changes. I mean, Lou will work forever, knowing Lou. But,
and they loved having him around.
The St. Blues.
Yes. They loved it. Yes. He was the model citizen.
Yeah. Well, that's what he is. He's always been a model
citizen. In the dressing room with Jake Allen, last guy off the ice, putting pucks in the the bucket mm-hmm. after practice. He did it right, mm-hmm. and good on him, because that was my one concern too, was that he actually thought he could still play.
Right. And Marty's always been class since, I mean, I remember dealing with him, you know, playing against him in All-Star games. He was always the classiest, always a smile on his face, always a great guy. And that's why he should be back there.
Well, on the subject of All-Star games, can you get rid of that cannon? Like, do you have, because you bought the cannon, because you put that whole process in place, do you have any power to get rid of it?
They love the cannon. They're lined up getting pictures.
They ran out of ammo.
In the game.
The caps, or whatever you put.
The blanks?
Remember that cap gun? Yeah.
Oh, they're blanks? They're not real?
There was one goal they ran out, I think. They sent someone into the variety store.
Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun is with us here. But can you explain why in front of the cannon...
They have a glass.
Why there's plexiglass there?
And did you see them clean that?
Why?
So there must be dust comes out of it or something, because I saw the guy cleaning the plexiglass, a little piece of plexiglass.
Are they afraid that somebody's going to sneak a cannonball in there and it's going to go flying across? Here's Zeisberger.
I think it was good. I really enjoyed the cannon.
Zeis was the only guy in the building in Columbus that you didn't hire. We walked through the building. It's like, I hired you. Wanted to fire you.
I didn't say that.
About 1,000 times.
I didn't say it, though. They were very nice.
How was your Columbus?
Some of the people that don't like me didn't show up. I didn't hear from many of them.
But. We do have to get to Dion Phaneuf and the injury that's going to knock him out of the lineup. But how was your Columbus experience, Mike?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say I was so wanting to blame McLean for that stupid cannon. Except it was Ken Hitchcock's idea, and the first time any media member carved it up, Hitch actually texted one of our colleagues and said, "Wait a minute, that's a great idea. Don't you guys know anything about the Civil War?"
Yeah, and it wasn't Hitch's idea. By the way, it wasn't Hitch's.
Put your chair right in front of the cannon.
It wasn't Hitch's idea, by the way. It was the jacket backers, booster club's idea. And they bugged me for two or three years to do it. It wasn't Hitch's idea.
Well, the way they were booing Nash, I thought they were going to aim the cannon at him for a while.
Exactly. Exactly.
Toronto Maple Leafs come out of the All-Star break. They'll face the New Jersey Devils on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey without captain Dion Phaneuf. And I feel slightly sorry for Dion, because he finally steps up and does something in the face of adversity, and now he's hurt.
Yeah, and the interesting thing here now is that obviously, like you guys, I've been hearing that a lot of teams have been, inquiring about Cody France, and so obviously he's a free agent at the end of the year. So what happens now? Because Cody France now is a guy that suddenly becomes even more in the spotlight, because he's going to get more minutes. He's going to see more, he did see power play time, obviously, beforehand, but he's probably going to gobble up more minutes on the power play as well. And, if he plays well, that's good for the Leafs, except he drives his price up. And at the same time, if you decide, we want to trade him, you're going to have to decide pretty quick, especially with the Franson situation. Do you still think you've got a shot at the playoffs? Or, if he starts playing better, do you trade him when his value is higher? Either way, I think the one thing that the Phaneuf injury does is suddenly put the ball in Cody Franson's court to say, you know what, I can really drive up my value because the spotlight is more on me.
I listen. If I close my eyes, I'd think it was Bruce Garriock I'm listening to. These two guys' voices sound so similar. I know they both were the Sun.
That's just
whether you're Santorelli or Franzen, you don't keep those pieces. You don't. You trade them, and if you want to re-sign them back, just
get the assets.
Get the assets, and
how long
if they want to be Toronto Maple Leafs, sign them July 1st.
How long do you wait tomorrow? Start tomorrow.
You get the offer you like.
Yep.
And as we know, right-handed defensemen that are 6'2 or 6'3
6'4
can play like Franzen are hard to come by. I would think you'd be looking at a second rounder, prospect, first rounder.
Zeiss, when you ask the question, how long do you wait? I think the obvious, do you with the trade deadline coming up, do you wait to that day?
No, you start now.
And spike? Because Garth Snow, what happened to him with Thomas Vanek last year.
You start now.
He ran out of time.
Now putting things in order, Mike. Well, you know, getting things prepared.
You know what, guys? I think that we've seen that more in the last 20 minutes.
He's a right-handed guy. Yeah. He leads the team in scoring.
Zeiss finish?
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
He's going to fetch you something very good, Zeiss.
Yeah, but you know, I think that the point you guys make is good in the fact that, to your point, in that we've seen a lot of the bigger trades in the last few years don't necessarily come a day or two around the trade deadline, but in February. And sometimes, like you said with Vanek, teams are left not getting the return that you might think. But I just want to see, you know, if that's the way the Leafs are going to be, I'd like to see them be proactive. Like, if they're going to get it done, let's show us some evidence that that's the path that you're going to take. Well,
I believe we put a clause in the new rights deal that all big deals would wait until the day of the trade deadline.
Now, what about Reimer? Would a Minnesota be interested in a Reimer with the situation they've got on their hands, or is Chuck going to ride it out? Playoffs are at risk there, big time. Kemper's back, but would Reimer?
He's been assigned to the minors for a conditioning.
Right, yeah. But would Reimer be a guy that Chuck might take a gamble on? He signed for next year.
He's already made the deal for Dubnyk. If he was going to do Reimer, he probably would have done it already.
So he's going to ride.
But I agree with you that Reimer should be in play somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. That Dubnyk. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Dubnyk. That's right.
But you know, let's remember Chuck. Chuck's not scared to go out on a limb. Remember last year he went for Brizgalov, and there were a lot of eyebrows raised when he did that.
Right.
So are we looking at the teardown of the Toronto Maple Leafs between now and the trade deadline?
Well, are we? I think we should be. But I'll repeat what I said earlier. You know, they've got to show some kind of evidence. You know, make the first deal and show us that that's the direction you're going, because right now we haven't seen any evidence of that.
They're working on it. I think they've come to the conclusion already.
Well, you know, like I talked to one GM over the weekend, and you know, Nick, I know you've reported this too, but he said, you know, other than maybe one or two pieces, and the guys that I was told were, you know, they'd like to keep Riley. You'd have to blow them away for Van Riemsdyk. But according to this GM, pretty much everybody else is in play.
Did you agree with Damian's comments on the weekend that Kessel got some serious backing from fellow players on the weekend? Damian referred to it as a group hug, but they took his back. They had his back at the All-Star game, didn't they?
They made a statement in that All-Star draft.
Right.
To pump him up.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Which was good.
I do. And a couple guys that, you know, just talking to off the record, they just kind of shook their head and said, you know, we understand the microscope that is on the players in Toronto. But they said at the same time, one guy told me, he said, look, this guy, in every full season that he's been in Toronto, if you throw the lockout year and you could prorate what his goals would have been, this guy has scored 30-plus goals every year that he's been at Toronto Maple Leafs.
So you guys have got to...
One guy said, you can't even find... How many guys even on the All-Star rosters that we saw the other day have had that kind of consistency?
Well, you guys got to be stopped being so critical of him then.
So you and Damian feel like... the rest of the league feels sorry for Phil Kessel, and that's supposed to make Leaf fans...
Oh, I don't think that had anything to do with Leaf fans. I think it had more to do with Phil Kessel.
I'm not saying that it's got to have some factor in what they do with them, but that seems to be the way that the players, the other players, felt, that they did have his back. They kind of circled the wagons around him, and I think the fact that you know, when Patrick Kane came out and said, you know, we're going to pick this guy because he's very coachable, I think that was more a shot at the Leafs and the market than it was at Phil Kessel. Right.
Now, do you think if you were Brendan or Dave Nonis or whoever, Mark Condor or Kyle Dubas, who's ever making the trades in Toronto, would you phone and try to make that deal, Kessel for Sagan, see if you can pull it off?
Ooh.
I got a funny feeling it wouldn't go.
I don't think Jimmy Neal's going to do that.
Who made the trade, Foligno or Taves?
That came from Patrick Kane. It was originally. I was told that was originally his idea.
He'll never make it in management then with that deal.
But the thing is, joking and obviously, but joking aside, I don't think that Tyler Seguin. I mean, if he was too much under the microscope in Boston, he wouldn't want to have any part of coming here.
No.
He loves it in Dallas.
I was joking. It's not possible. It's an impossible thing to even contemplate. So please don't tweet me and say we should do that trade.
I like Seguin a lot. There would be some nights he'd really struggle in a Leaf uniform.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I'll say that.
Mike Zeisberger is with us from the Toronto Sun and Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks in the United States. I'm sure that we've got a few more people watching than normal because of the shutdown on the Northeast Coast. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. Toronto's 10 points out of the playoffs going into the game. Game's tonight. They will face New Jersey tomorrow night. We don't realistically think, Mike, that there's a playoff push coming here.
No. I mean... You know, they're going to say that there is, and obviously they're going to go out and bust, you know, at least you'd hope bust their butts for it. But I just think that there's too many teams between where they need to go and where they are now. I mean, too many times, and especially as the games whittle down, I always kind of get a chuckle when people will start saying, well, you know, they're only 5 points out or they're only 7 points out. Yeah, but there might be four or five or even six teams between them and the final playoff spot, and that's the way I look at it. I mean, it's so tight. You look like I think Florida was in a playoff spot. They were playing very well. Then they dropped something like three or four straight, and boom, they're like five or 7 points out. So
right.
I just think there's too many teams between the Leafs and the playoffs, and that's why if you're going to do something – and as Kipper said, the wheels are in motion. I think you gotta get on it. You gotta come to the realization that it's more than points. It's about how many teams are between you and that playoff spot.
The gap between the second wild card or the two wild card teams, because they're the exact same, the points, Washington and Boston, and the next best team is 7 points. So you might be looking at your playoff teams right now.
You have to beat out Boston to get in the playoffs, and they're not going to do that.
And so
that's as simple as that.
The sellers are already revealed.
Right.
So it goes back to the Cody Franzen thing. When do you make your deal? You might have to make it sooner than later because there's the group of sellers,
Darren,
is already there.
And the quicker you make it, the better chance you have to get a better draft pick. And it's a pretty good draft. And if you get a top five, top seven pick, that's a really positive thing. And that's what they should be thinking about right now.
They're 22nd right now.
Don't be 12th to 13th.
What?
Don't pick 12th
or
13th.
Don't pick 12th to 13th. This mistake has been made here for a number of years.
Well,
you've got to try to pick in the top five.
Yeah, well, you guys remember.
Start today.
There was a year where they looked as if they were going to
right.
go that route, and then they got Martin Gerber.
Like, seriously, what did that cost them?
Whoever thought that Martin Gerber would all of a sudden be the reason they didn't finish so high.
Seriously.
It all goes back to, I mean, the demise of the Toronto Maple Leafs goes back to Martin Gerber.
Totally. And we talked, guys, we went on and on about it on this show. What the hell are they doing? It was crazy.
What was the point?
They're not going to get into a...
do that on To The Point tomorrow night.
They're not going to get into
picked up Martin Gerber.
A top four pick or a bottom four finish.
Can they get to five?
But yeah, New Jersey. New Jersey's 5 points behind them.
Top five pick. Do you know how valuable that is?
Makes tomorrow night very important.
And don't forget, guys, too. I mean, number one, they play Jersey, I think, twice in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. But not only that, guys, let's remember there's a new draft lottery this year.
Yep.
Your chances improve. If you're in the top five, who knows what happens? The percentages
this year, though, you you still isn't it, aren't you eligible for the lottery of first pick overall past top five?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah. But I'm just saying
everybody is.
But I'm saying that you're
still like a 5% chance.
But if you get to the top five, your chances are a hell of a lot better than in 12th to get to the top. That's, you know, so go for it.
Oh, by the way, Zeiss, did you get home?
Yeah, I was lucky, but I went through Chicago, so I was going away from all the crappy weather. But I know there's still a lot of our colleagues are still stuck in Columbus, and they might not get back till Thursday or Friday. And the ironic thing is, I know some of my colleagues, like Terry Koshan, who was in Toronto, and he's covering the game in Jersey on Wednesday. He had to leave at 6:30 a.m. yesterday to go to Jersey, because all the other his regular flight was already canceled. They were canceling flights in advance. And then I talked to him today, and he's from Wyarton. He said they wouldn't even consider what they got in Jersey a dusting in Wyarton.
Well, we Canadians always like to talk about that.
But Bruce Hickey in Summerside reported to me this morning that you can't see across Central Street, Darren. It's that much of a blizzard in PEI right now.
But so that's like a seven-lane highway.
Central Street?
Two lanes. My favorite intersection in Summerside is the corner of Winter and Summer.
Yes.
And that junction.
And I lived on Spring Street.
Have they named a street after you there yet, McLean?
No, Heather Moyse got it.
She did.
There's just the sign that says Dead End. That's the one named after Doug McLean.
But there is a Mackenzie Drive.
Yes, you're right.
My daughter's name.
Thanks for doing this, Mike.
Thank you, guys, and glad to hear you got back safely.
Honest to God, he does sound like Bruce Garriott, though.
Don't stop that.
Thanks,
guys.
Be good.
His voice is very
similar.
When
we continue, Helene Elliott from the LA Times is going to come on and just talk a little bit about what happened with the Mike Richards scenario. Cleared waivers. We expect he will be assigned to Manchester of the American Hockey League at some point today. Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Television Networks, and getting through the day through the snow on the NHL Network in the United States.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon continues. Darren Millard with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. The NHL jumping back into action tonight. Islanders and Rangers slated to go. Sportsnet Ontario and Pacific. Sportsnet East has Montreal at home to Dallas. Sportsnet West features Buffalo in Calgary. The Oilers, Sportsnet Oilers, Edmonton at home to Minnesota, and Anaheim and Vancouver going on Sportsnet Pacific. Five games available on Sportsnet tonight. Regional restrictions apply. Pleased to bring in Helene Elliott from the LA Times on the Mike Richards front. A lot of people will second-guess Dean Lombardi. Are you one of them for not using the compliance buyout after the Stanley Cup final, Helene?
Actually, yeah. I think they had a chance to get this contract off their books. Mike Richards was undeniably in a decline, and I think that, Dean wanted to keep the team together. I understand that. He wanted to keep the core together. And, of course, you could not have anticipated what happened with Slava Voynov and how that was going to hang them up in terms of salary cap and flexibility and all. But, yeah, I think he should have used the buyout on Richards last summer.
Is it just a given now he's sent to the American Hockey League?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dean talked yesterday about Richards getting his game back down there, which I'm not quite sure is really going to happen. But, Richards has been a decent guy to deal with here. You wish him the best. You'd like to see a guy like that be able to get it back, but I've seen no evidence to suggest that he will.
So, Helene, has he been – I mean, you see every game, essentially. Has he been that bad? Has his game versus where it was in the second half of last year as compared to the first half this year, major drop-off?
Well, I think it's been more over the last two seasons. he's just not forceful. There's no physical element to the game. There just seems to be an energy missing. I mean, one of the things Dean Lombardi said last summer was that, you know, we think it's a matter of conditioning, and Mike promised us he was going to get it into a really good conditioning program last summer, and he was going to get into really good shape, and that's one of the reasons why Lombardi said he did not exercise the buyout, the compliance buyout that they could have used. But I just don't see it. I mean, you know, you get the argument, well, he's on the fourth line, what can he do? But, you know, you've seen in the past guys show life on the fourth line. The fourth line can be really vital in a long playoff run. And he just wasn't showing any signs of life, of aggressiveness, of forcefulness.
Whether or not he would come back in great shape or 300 pounds doesn't change the fact that they are backed into a corner with the salary cap.
Absolutely.
How could that have made a difference?
Well,
conditioning.
The Voyanov, as Helene pointed out, the Voyanov thing really compounded this, though, hasn't it? And it, without the Voyanov, they might be okay.
It's a non-issue now, right?
No. Well, the problem is this.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Right.
They can't replace him.
The other thing is that his trial, Voyanov's trial, is March 2nd. The day is scheduled to start March 2nd, the day of the trading deadline.
Right.
So what happens if, let's say they go out and replace, they use the salary cap relief that they got for Voronov right now.
It's no good.
What happens if Voronov goes to trial and he's found not guilty?
That's the challenge.
Then the money comes back on and you're over the cap.
Well, yeah.
That's the issue. So Voronov has compounded this dramatically.
Helene, there's some that suggest that the Kings are hoping or believe that he could play as early as the playoffs. You buy that?
Voyanov or Richards? Who are we talking
about? I'm sorry, Voyanov. Are you hearing anything in terms of where that might be leaning towards?
I think it's all at this point going to depend on what happens if it goes to trial. And from what I understand, there is no talk of a plea bargain. There had been some possibilities raised about that, but from what I understand, there's not going to be a plea bargain. So if it goes to trial, I mean, if it goes to trial and he's found guilty, he's gone. I mean, I can't see that he'd be able to keep his visa and stay here and play.
Right.
Los Angeles Kings right now sitting 1 point out of a wild card spot. We're with Helene Elliott from the LA Times. How concerned are they between Daryl and Dean, the management group, about where this team's performed this year?
They are. You know, and players have been pretty honest about it and saying, yeah, we know we have to get better. We've seen them do it before. But the question is, they're all a year or two older than the last time they did it. They've all got a lot more mileage on them. A number of them played in the Olympics. You know, just have a lot more games under their belt. So, you know, as a general manager, I guess you have to trust that your players are going to get it together if they say they can. But this has been a tough sled for them. I think one thing that deserves mentioning is losing Pearson and Toffoli. Pearson to the broken leg and Toffoli to illness, although Toffoli may be back pretty soon. I mean, those kids brought energy and speed and brought a factor that they really needed. They're not going to get Pearson back for a while. Toffoli may come back soon, but those are important players too.
Helene, what about the Justin Williams situation? Obviously, an unrestricted free agent, Conn Smythe winner. What does his future hold here?
That's a very good question, and I think that's, you know, the Kings were hoping that somebody would pick up Richard's contract so that they'd have more flexibility in the future to pay Williams more. There's no question they want Williams to stay, and I suspect I know he wants to stay, but there's just so much to the business end of things these days that sometimes it comes down to balancing sentiment and business. And, you know, Lombardi has shown the knack in the past for making moves that make things fit. But also you have to look at the salary cap and how much it will or will not go up in the next couple of seasons.
I had heard that it's close, that it wasn't going to be that big of an issue. And Williams is smart enough to understand that it's a good fit.
And that's where he should stay.
It's not about top dollar top UFA dollar winning.
Right, and it's not about uprooting his family and moving them somewhere else. I mean, they're happy here. He likes it here. His family likes it here. And those are huge factors for him.
For a team that's won the Stanley Cup two of the last 3 years and had such little turnover, there's a lot of drama around the LA Kings. Helene, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Sure. Take care,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Helene.
LA, two things that you can fix right now. One, the road record, that they need to get better on the road. And one goal games. Yeah. They have not come out. It's almost polar opposite to what's happened in Anaheim.
Now, she had mentioned that there's doesn't appear to be any plea bargaining going on right now with Voinov, but I had also heard that he does not want a plea bargain. Mm.
That he wants to be exonerated.
100%.
Yep.
So,
so you agree with her? You're hearing the same things.
Yes.
The question is, if you go to trial early March, how long is this trial?
So he wants his name completely off of this, and if that's the case, if it goes to court and that's the case, he can start playing right away.
Hey, have you guys ever, as long as I've been in this business, I did something this weekend that I've first.
Yeah, thanks for dinner. You picked up a check.
You're welcome.
When? I missed it. I missed that.
I went and watched the second and the third periods from the truck, the production truck. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever done that?
No.
Yes, we have.
I haven't.
It is as chaotic.
They didn't invite you in the truck, that's why.
A chaotic of a scenario as I've ever experienced, yet somehow they get it done.
I find seeing Mark Askin just in the office space, you know, at his office is enough confusion and chaos, let alone seeing him in a truck.
Askin produced it, and Ron Forsyth was directing it, and it was.
They do a great job.
If you haven't done it before.
Yeah, I should.
And I told her.
See, how do I do that? Because I'm usually working.
Well, I'm usually working too.
Yeah.
But you can pick a game. Stay an extra
Go
weekend.
On an off night.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
But you could sell tickets to that thing. It's really cool.
Go to the truck.
John Shannon has told me enough stories, and people who have worked for John Shannon have told me enough horror stories that I'm not sure I need that chaos in my life.
The truck was better than the game. Watching the performance in the truck was better than the game.
I agree with that 100%.
There's no way you can get rid of the game, though. Can you?
Ask the goalies.
Is there a rule that the goalies don't have to try either?
How much fun did Marc-Andre Fleury have?
Yeah.
For 20 minutes.
That's why they
called it the longest 20 in his life.
That's why they have so many goalies.
How about rent a goalie? Wouldn't you want to play in that?
How much worse would the score be?
I'd rather have you.
Well,
in
I've
there,
seen
I
you.
Think.
I saw you in one of those celebrity games. It could be worse.
It'd be your fantasy.
But what? But nobody's happy with the game.
But I don't know what you do with it.
I don't either. And I'm not going to spend any time. I'm not going to spend any time worrying about it. But
you know what
they're
did?
Not happy. People aren't happy.
I set up
it.
This Apple TV in my house now, then you can go and watch in the vault, in the NHL vault, games.
Yes.
So you know what I did last night? I put in 1980 Campbell versus Wales, Long Island.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying they ran each other through the boards,
but they played hard. They played hard.
They played hard. Hard.
Totally.
They rode you out. They pinned you.
Totally.
They didn't want to get beat to the middle of the ice. They didn't want to be embarrassed.
Okay, what was
you know how people get blamed
you
for this?
You can't
win this turn.
I'm a huge Tavares fan. Mm-hmm. When I hear that he's tied Gretzky, it's like.
Don't you want it?
It's you can't even compare the two games. Mm-hmm. You can't even go there.
How many
you
goals?
Can't even mention it in the same breath.
How
and
many
I'm
goals
sorry,
did Gretzky score in this current age of the
but
All-Star
it's,
game.
Right. You can't go. I think they should even stop recording goals.
So, keeping score,
keep score, but just don't record that this guy has four goals and two assists, and this guy's got three and. Don't go down that path anymore because the game is just it's gone too far.
Maybe what you do is
to even consider it historical.
Change it so the best player in each team gets a Bentley. Then maybe they'll try. Like a Honda. We love Hondas. We all love Hondas.
Don't go down that path.
Yeah, don't
go down that path.
But who's to blame for what has happened? I heard a name on the weekend and I sort of chuckled. You know how you GMs leave places and you get blamed for what's gone on and they continually, you know, the blame stays there. Bob Goodenow's name was being thrown at. Bob's been gone how long and now they're saying he's to blame for the All-Star game going like this.
I think when they went to fan voting, it took something away from the being legitimate.
Now we're blaming the fans.
We're blaming the fans.
And Bob Goodenough. Poor Bob.
You guys are pathetic. How about the player? No.
Gergensons.
I thought the players were great Friday, and they were great Saturday.
And not so good Sunday.
How were you? How was Friday? You hosted?
Friday was good.
Right?
Yeah.
You and Catherine Tappan?
It was good just to get away from you guys for a night. Thanks to Helene Elliott, as well as Mike Zeisberger. And we've got an 11-game night tonight in the National Hockey League. Enjoy.